Good morning.
Good morning.
We'd like to welcome all of you who have come here for worship. We give thanks to God for his many blessings to us, and we pray that as we spend this time gathered around his word and at his table and with one another, that our faith might be strengthened, that we can go forth from here to live for him. I think all of the announcements are in the bulletin, but a reminder that the annual voters meeting will take place following this morning's service. I wasn't given any additional announcements, so let's begin our worship singing the hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment.
But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together now in speaking responsively Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord.
He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog,
and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust,
who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told.
Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, behold, I have come.
In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I desire to do your will, O my God.
Your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation.
Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me.
Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the gospel?
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
To thee, O Lord.
next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This is the portion of the service that we've set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that. And I'm sure glad to see all of you here today. This morning, I want to show you some clothes that are fit for a king. Here they are. Oh, here we go. And you're saying, It looks like your t-shirt. Well, I will be honest, these are both my shirts. So what am I talking about? Clothes fit for a king. I mean, obviously you said they don't look very special to you, do they? But thousands of years ago, those clothes were very special. Because you see, in ancient Rome, only people who were part of the emperor's family were allowed to wear purple. No one else in the whole kingdom was allowed to wear purple, except those who were part of the royal family. Fact is, if anybody wasn't a part of the emperor's family, and if they wore those colors, they could actually be killed. In ancient China, only the emperor was allowed to wear yellow. And the reason that the kings and the emperors wore special clothes and special colors, well, that way everybody would know who was the boss. If you saw a crowd of people, and in that crowd you saw the person wearing yellow, or the person wearing purple, you would know who the emperor was. Think about it. It made them stand out immediately because of the colors of the clothes that they wore. Now, in Jesus' time, there weren't as many customs like that. I mean, even though Jesus was the Son of God, were there any special colors that he could wear to prove it? No. And when Jesus first started preaching and teaching, the disciples, they weren't all that sure who he was. They couldn't tell if he was the Son of God or not. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him, rested on him like a dove. And John was a witness to that. And John told his disciples, he says, that is the Lamb of God. That is the special one. And so, what did they do? He says, they followed him. And then they really came to know exactly who Jesus was, that he was the Savior, that he was the one who came for us. Now, what do you think is one of the best ways that we could get to know who Jesus is and believe in him?
The Bible.
The Bible. You're right. When we read and when we study the Bible, it tells us everything that we need to know about Jesus. And also, I think we need to pray and we need to thank Jesus for all of the things that he's done for us. That's all for this morning. You're wearing special clothes too. Bright red and hearts and glittery. Thanks for coming up. And
I'm sorry.
grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. How does the gospel lesson begin? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." This is our text. You know, when it comes to changing hearts, you won't find a better example than John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus. But his techniques and his appearance were peculiar. His home was in the Judean desert. His diet of locusts and honey, well, that certainly wasn't featured in a gourmet magazine. And his attire of camel's hair never got him a mention in GQ. His strange demeanor, well, that kind of underlined his brazen message. He called the esteemed religious leaders of his time a brood of vipers, telling them that their ancestry wouldn't save them from the coming retribution. I mean, we might picture John the Baptist as a powerful ice cutter that is carving a lane through the ice of a frozen lake for the kinder and gentler Jesus. I mean, there is some truth in that image, but to limit John to being just a bizarre advanced man, that would be to diminish his contributions to our understanding of Jesus. I mean, John was not some wild-eyed fanatic that was in need of a diet guru and a good haberdasher. John provides us with some profound insights into the meaning of Christ's coming into our world. In today's gospel reading, John actually gives us three definitive statements as to how Jesus really is a light to the nations. First of all, John states that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, who would have thought that John, that camel hair clothing wearer, that locust and honey eating social critic, who would have thought that he could offer such a sensitive insight? By lifting up Jesus as the Lamb of God, John points to the very meaning of Jesus' life. I mean, throughout Scripture, that image of the sacrificial lamb conveys the idea of the persecuted, innocent suffering on behalf of others. And then when you come to the festival of the Passover, that lamb actually becomes the symbol for deliverance. I mean, that was demonstrated in the way that the Passover was observed in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus. In those days, portions of the Passover or Paschal lamb would be offered at the temple, and the remaining lamb portions would be consumed at home during the Passover meal. I mean, to the religious faithful, the lamb meant both sacrifice and deliverance from sin. And so when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he was saying that Jesus is both the innocent, suffering one and also the triumphant one who conquered sin and death. And I think that is well symbolized in the great Christian symbol of the living Lamb carrying a triumphant banner. Jesus is both the Paschal Lamb and also the Lamb of victory. So behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, exclaimed John. You know, lambs have the connotation of being meek and mild. And yet this Lamb of God defeated the greatest enemy of humankind, death itself. I mean, John was making a very profound statement when he said, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And in the second place, John also teaches us that Jesus was the pre-existent Word. What did he say? "After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me." I mean, that's particularly fascinating because John and Jesus were related. I mean, when Jesus' mother, Mary, told John's mother, Elizabeth, that she was going to have a baby, the baby within Elizabeth leapt for joy. And that leaping baby is John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus. And by saying that Jesus came before me, John wasn't speaking chronologically, but he was speaking theologically. He was pointing to that great truth that we find in the prologue of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus is the Word of God. In his book, Just Like Us, Max Lucado tells how in Brazil, he sometimes served as a translator for visiting English speakers. And he said the speaker stood before the audience, complete with the message. And Lucado stood at his side, equipped with the language. And his job was to convey the speaker's story to the listeners. And Lucado said he did his best to follow the speaker's words, to the words that were going to come through him. He said he wasn't at liberty to embellish or subtract. He said when the speaker got louder, he got louder. When the speaker made gestures, he made gestures. When the speaker got quiet, he said, Lucado says, he did too. And he makes this parallel. When he walked this earth, Jesus was translating God all the time. When God got louder, Jesus got louder. When God gestured, Jesus gestured. The fact is, he was so in sync with the Father that he could declare, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." And John tells us that Christ is the Lamb of God. He tells us that Christ is the pre-existent Word of God. And here's John the Baptist's final and crowning insight, that Jesus is the Son of God. That was revealed to John by the voice of God, and it flows out of the understanding that Jesus, the Word of God, has become flesh and dwelt among us. You see, when Jesus allowed John to baptize him, it surprised John. He felt unworthy even to untie Jesus' sandals, much less baptize him. Yet Jesus was baptized to show his identification with John's work, as well as to offer an identifying sign. And that sign was the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus as God's voice spoke the words that, really, the words that every child should hear from his dad. "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." And I think if more kids could hear unconditional love from their dads, like Jesus heard from his dad, I think many of our social ills would decrease. You see, it makes a big difference in our lives when we know that we're loved. In fact, people whose lives are twisted with hatred for others are usually people who never received unconditional love. We love, says the writer of 1 John, because he first loved us. You see, acts of unconditional love have tremendous redeeming power. It was a Saturday morning in January in Michigan. A blizzard was in full force. Pastor Frank Lyman was making a hospital call, and when he returned to his van, he discovered that he had a flat tire. This was not a pleasant situation, but he thought to himself, well, at least I remembered my gloves. Well, that self-congratulation was short-lived, because when he pulled the gloves out of his pocket, he found out that they were both left-handed gloves. Well, have you ever attempted to jack up a van, to change a tire in a blizzard while wearing a backwards glove? And he testified that it exceeded his dexterity. And after 25 minutes of trying to jack the van up, says he gave up and called a wrecker. And he had waited about 20 minutes in the hospital lobby when one of the hospital's maintenance staff came up to him and asked, "Do you own that white van in the parking lot?" "Yeah," he said. And the maintenance man said, "Well, I just finished changing your tire, and I wanted to know where you wanted me to put the spare." Well, Lyman couldn't believe it. Says he was witnessing a miracle, and as far as he was concerned, he expected to see the Touch by an Angel gang at any moment. But he said, "But this was real." And the man who fixed his tire wouldn't accept any money. He wouldn't even give his name. He just wanted to be helpful. Well, that unknown Good Samaritan's gift to Pastor Lyman, that was a gift of grace. It was a gift of unmerited favor. I mean, oftentimes, negative experiences cast a gloomy pall over our lives. But this gift of grace cast a sunbeam into his snowy winter of discontent. And all he could do to express his gratitude was to write the hospital a letter of commendation and to live more faithfully as a person of grace himself. And you know, that is the way that the Lord Jesus works in our lives. He loves us unconditionally. And the only way that we can return such love is through loving others. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the pre-existent Word of God who reveals to us the will of the Father. And Jesus is the Son of God, the one whose unconditional love compels and enables us to love one another. And the final verse of our text says, the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." You know, we also have come to know the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I pray that we also might feel the urgency of sharing that message. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you have given us so many blessings in our life. Each and every day you sustain us and guide and keep us. Lord, we pray that you make these offerings useful for the work of your kingdom, the proclamation of your word, and that through that word, all those who hear it might be strengthened in their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We ask it now in his name. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We praise you, O Lord, for you declared it too light a thing that Jesus should redeem only the tribes of Jacob and instead made him a light for all the nations. Fill our hearts with joy that he is the Savior of all, and grant that our voices may help spread your salvation to the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, summoned Andrew and Peter to follow him and would later send them to bear witness to his name. Continue to call men into the holy ministry. Bless all who hold and study for that office, that they would grow in all godly wisdom and faithfully make known your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you faithfully watched over the tribes of Jacob, providing them both daily bread and redemption in abundant measure. Watch over the homes of your people. Bless them with all that they need for this body and life, and preserve them in the glad confidence that Christ is their strength and their salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, guide and give wisdom to the nation and our president, the governor of this state, and all judges and magistrates. Protect those who serve as firefighters, police, disaster workers, and medical personnel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, your Son became the Lamb of God to take away all of our sins and infirmities by his death and resurrection. Remember all who are in need of your health and healing. Especially we raise up in our prayers Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Bill, Bryston and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Vicky and Jama, Judy and Kyle, Sarah and Marilyn, Renee and Michelle, Diana and Deb, and all of those others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts. Gracious Lord, deliver them according to your merciful will and preserve them in the certainty that their sins are taken away. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and merciful God, we also raise up prayers of joy and thanksgiving this day with Larry and Helen Hesterman as they celebrate their anniversary this week. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've shown to them, and pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over them and to keep them in your loving care. And merciful Lord, you give us the precious body and blood of your beloved Son for the forgiveness of our sins. Grant us faith as we approach the Lamb of God in this sacrament. Enable us to keep in holy hearts what we receive upon our lips. Send your Holy Spirit to keep us in this faith until Christ comes in his glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, through your Holy Spirit, you work in us to bring forth fruits of righteousness. Grant us a steadfast heart in times of duress, strength amid temptation, and the grace of humility, that we may not fall victim to pride and arrogance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, grant that we who have celebrated the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ may die to sin and rise to new life, that we may treasure up and ponder in our hearts the Christ announced by your forerunner. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body of Christ given for you.
That takest away the sin of the world. Grant us thy peace.
Eat and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace
according to thy will. Which thou hast prepared me for, the face of all people, the light and the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let his mercy endure forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be
the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. A reminder once again of the annual voters meeting, which will be held following the service this morning. Let us continue our worship as we sing our closing hymn, The Lamb.
Thank you. is all.